CliffCentral.com.
Very good. Tupac and California Love. How fantastic is that? Mm. Still a winner.
It's crazy what songs mean to us or remind us of. You guys are referencing what happened in the 90s and Tupac. For me, this is like one of the first episodes of Ellen that I watched because she used to dance a lot to the song. That's what I remember.
You mean Ellen, that, Ellen the evil bitch who's
sequestered by Ellen. Yeah. That's when you know you've lost all street cred. She is the whitest thing. She, no, the cliffs of Dover are not as white as Ellen DeGeneres.
But she's that's Ellen who's mean to all of her staff, right?
Do you say allegedly now?
I don't know.
She apologized something.
I don't know what you say to Ellen. All right. Good morning, everybody. I hope your Wednesday is going beautifully. It is. It was such a beautiful morning. I woke up today. I looked out of the window and at. You know, at 5:15, it's already quite light, which is so beautiful. And you get that little bit of pink and blue in the sky as the sun rises. It's absolutely magnificent. We do live in an amazing country. Despite all of the things that piss you off about it, it is still one of the greatest places to be. And I'll tell you why. Yesterday, I spoke to a friend of mine who's done – he's done really well. I mean, he is – he's made plenty of money, and he actually moved over to America for a while. He's been there for 18 months. He lived in New York, which for many people is the dream, right, to move to New York. And he and his wife and his kids have been living in New York. He said nothing compares to the life that he has here. So he's back in South Africa now, and he might move back to Miami part-time. But he said he's never going back to New York. To live there is absolute hell. And he says partly because the Democrats don't know how to run a city. And that's also true for some friends of mine in California who've moved. So no one wants to live in Democrat-controlled states and cities anymore because the tax is through the roof. There are rules for everything. And it's just impossible to live there, even if you have millions.
Whereas, taxes are through the roof and there's rules for nothing.
No, well, that's exactly what he said. He was saying that because this is one of those places where there are less rules, you will have more entrepreneurship here. You will have more ideas. You'll have more people doing things that probably break the rules, but that are essential in order to push humanity forward. And he says he doesn't want to live anywhere else. He might, you know, choose to live in Cape Town, but he does not want to go back to New York. So if you feel this morning like you are unlucky and that you think you'd rather be somewhere else, or you feel
like a very wealthy guy prefers South Africa to New York.
Well, he has all the options that you and I don't. You know, he could go and live anywhere he likes, and he wants to be here. So think about that. And he's not the only one. There are lots of stories like that. So it's worth just giving it a little bit of, you know.
I remember hearing California Love and thinking how and seeing the Mad Max style video. And obviously I realized that LA is not really like Mad Max, but you just thought California must be so fucking cool. Mm-hmm. And then you go to LA and it's like, this is Edenvale in every direction. It's like they took Edenvale and multiplied it by Kempton Park. Oh. You basically have Durban as far as I can see, and it just badly needs to be hosed down.
That's actually probably the most accurate description I've heard of
it's
Los
like
Angeles.
Having a song, Vel to Frieden Park. In my car, up to the spa, gonna get a burry.
Just ruined it for me.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Vel to Frieden Park.
Please do a version of Vel to Frieden Park over California Love. I think that would be so funny.
I will.
And that's what your friend came back to.
Well,
Valtavirden Park.
I've been to Hollywood, and Hollywood has got to be the most overrated. Oh my God, it's horrible. Hollywood's most overrated place in the world. I remember I wrote an article for one of the magazines or newspapers or whatever it was when I got back, because they said, you know, I'd been keeping this journal, and this was in the days when blogs were really just taking off. And I kept this this travel log of where I'd been and what I've seen. And, you know, I went to the Oscars, for God's sake. I did some amazing, amazing things in that trip. And I remember going to Hollywood and going to where all the stars are and the Grolman's Chinese Theater and all of that stuff. It is just a dump. Los Angeles has got more homeless people than you can imagine. They all stink.
Yeah, Skid Row there is a serious thing. And like meth tweakers are a real thing.
Oh,
they're like
dude.
All over the place. And yeah, they're like not in their right mind. I mean, these are not people who have like, you know, like slight untreated psychiatric issues. Although I'm sure that's all behind it. But these people are like off their balls on meth and like not in the same planet as everyone else. It's scary, like Breaking Bad vibes. It's real. You see it in the street, in every street.
I remember seeing just tons of homeless people, and they all like smell like your friend who was in the lift and who sharted.
My friend, not Graham Armstrong, of course.
No, a different friend with a similar sounding name.
Allegedly.
And the stars themselves, you know those stars that they have on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
It's like a little purple piece of shit.
Horrible, man. I mean, like I've seen all these people who are so proud to have their star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I mean, a lot of them just have dog shit on them because the dogs do
and
shit.
And you walk
on
along looking you like walk along the road looking at the stars to try and say, oh, stars. And every 50th one is someone you've vaguely heard of.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, Mel Gibson. And then you walk for another K and it's just people you've never heard of.
Yeah. Because everyone in Hollywood who's operated a camera or a boom or, you know, done props.
I will say though that I had an amazing time there. Like I had a really fun time. I did a trip with two different groups of my besties, two married couples, both very good friends of mine, on separate trips. And I linked up with the one for the LA leg and my boy Gumpy and his wife Tree for the New York leg. And like New York's a much more interesting place.
Your boy Gumpy and who?
Yes, Gumpy and his wife Tree.
Tree.
2020. People can be called things now. So.
Okay.
Anyway, so I thought New York was a much more impressive place. It was amazing. I got there. It was spectacular. Had a great time with my friends. LA was a shithole. But I kind of want to go back to LA. There's a certain vibe about it. Like, it feels like you're coming down off Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas when you're there. It's like the place is sleazy in a kind of cool way. I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's a shitty place, and I wouldn't want to live there. But if you want to go jol for a week with your mates, LA is it's a good time.
Well,
sleazy
also,
in a cool way.
If you know anybody who's moved over to LA and who doesn't, because they wanted to chase their dreams of becoming a star. Just ask them about the first place they stayed in when they were in LA, because invariably it's some roach motel.
I stayed in a proper roach motel, and it smelled like they had so much cheap porn had been shot there since it was last decorated in the 70s. Like everything was turquoise and pink with like floral patterns, and the carpets were like peach, and it had been so like seeped in air freshener that it just smelled like. It smelled like, imagine if you put the 100 of the cheapest air fresheners in the world in a car and parked that car in the sun for a year.
Yeah.
And then when you open the door, that's what this room smelled like. And like, you know how smells take you right back, okay? So you pack all your shit so that you're ready for your trip. And you always pack a couple of things you're probably not going to need, but just in case. Like you're going to LA, New York in the middle of American summer, you pack one hoodie. So I unpacked all my shit when I got back from my trip. And then months later, I pulled something out of the cupboard that had been hanging in that room and I hadn't washed it or used it since. And I was like transported back in time because the smell of the pornography motel, the Hollywood Stars Inn. It's just near Hollywood Boulevard. Like but it's such a shithole that it was perfect. It was perfect. Everything about it was so American. It had like the air conditioning. Yeah, perfect shithole. And it had like, and it was clean enough that I made do, but it had like one of those bad air conditioners that's attached to the window and it rattles. Like it was awesome.
Listen to this. We've got so many messages here from people who've been to LA. And by the way, those places, sometimes they haven't renovated them since the 70s. So, you know, it's quite possible that that people like Charles Manson even stayed in them.
Which makes it extra delightful.
Yeah. It's magnificent. You got
I read this book. I can't remember the author's name now, but I read this book about Charles Manson and the CIA. This guy's been investigating it for like 20 years. He was on Joe Rogan. And like just how fucked up that Manson stuff was. And also, there's lots of theories as to what was really happening. We kind of now know that the official police line isn't what happened. So we don't yet know exactly what happened, but we know what it wasn't. It wasn't what the police story said that it was.
What do you mean?
The CIA were like,
you mean the murder of Sharon Tate?
Yes, the way that the prosecution handled it, like the times and places where everybody was, it was all just a massive cover-up. And this is like one of those stories where Anoka's researched it for like 2 decades. That leaves you with more questions than answers, but some serious government fuckery was involved with like testing hallucinogenics on people and, you know, trying to the government were feeding these murderous hippies all their drugs and money and power and stuff. It's quite a fascinating story. I'll stop talking about it now because I don't have the actual conclusion, but very good book.
Sometimes Gord just runs out of steam and you've just got to let him do that. That's exactly what just happened.
Got to let it get out. Now you guys can all go read about Charles Manson.
So Niska,
is it also concerning when you hear of these people who have been investigating stories for 15, 20, 25 years? I think they're also as creepy as a Charles Manson.
I mean, you eventually want to let it go, right? But then thank God for those people, because sometimes they find out that someone was wrongfully accused and locked up in jail. There's this Making a Murder show, which my sister was telling me about the other day. And this dude, who's like this toothless hick from like the Midwest in America. And you start off watching the show and you have no sympathy for him. And you kind of, you think he's a bad person. And it turns out that he's been accused of all these crimes and he did none of them. And it's amazing how people can go to jail.
One of my worst fears is going to jail for a crime I didn't commit. Or going to jail at all, but especially for a crime I didn't commit.
I hate those things. I hate them so much. I can't even watch those shows. It just it rubs me up the wrong way exactly every single time. Niska says, I lived in L.A. for 5 months in the beginning of 2018. It depends on where you stay. Hollywood is a shithole, but there are amazing other places. You eventually fall in love with the city. But going back for a week, Vegas, baby, is way better than L.A.
I haven't been to Vegas, so I can't really comment, but it looks like a shithole. It looks like a dry, dusty, flat, deserty shithole with some garish, brightly lit.
And we know how you feel
of iniquity.
Yeah, but that's what you want. That's what you want sometimes. All right, see ya.
By the way, the book's called Chaos by Tom O'Neill, and it actually really is very good and thoroughly investigated. So Chaos by Tom O'Neill, if you're interested in Marilyn Manson. I mean, Charles Manson.
Marilyn Manson. Okay, so Amy wants to know, and so do I, because I saw this yesterday. Did anybody see Sia's Instagram story yesterday? Please, 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 can we get some context? Sia, we are all very invested in your love life, but in particular, your happiness. Have a great day, but tell us what the hell's going on, Amy. Okay, so Sia, come on.
Well said, Amy.
Come on, Sia, spill the beans.
You know when you're in a bit of a funk and you decide, screw it, I'm going to post this. I didn't care about the repercussions. I was just in a bit of a funk yesterday, so that's why.
What did you do?
I've just been chatting to this guy for a couple of weeks and now I just thought, where's this going? I just don't understand where this is going. And I wanted to know, you know, you can't be on a plane sitting there idly and you don't know where you're going. I just want some concrete direction. So I asked flat out. Okay. Is it awkward to ask like that? Perhaps.
Let's start at the beginning.
Yes.
Okay. So have you two, you've been chatting for a while, but now you want to know whether anything's happening or not.
But you want to know in front of social media, not in WhatsApp.
No, well, I did text him separately, but I also thought, you know, Gord, I am in my prime juicy years.
Yes,
was a warning. That was a warning to anyone as well who might be thinking of approaching me. You have to have direction.
Slippery. You got to hold on to that shit.
No, you must have a plan as to what you want us to do. So I'm just done. No, I hate chatting.
Did you get a response?
I'm not a texter.
Did you force the action that you wanted to?
Oh, I've scared him and I feel bad now.
Okay. Come on, mystery guy. Give Sia a chance. You don't know what you're missing out. You just got to work.
Be careful what you ask for, though, because you might end up spurring this person on, and then they become too much, and you're sorry that you asked that. You don't want that to happen.
No, but Gareth, it inevitably needs to lead to a conclusion, regardless. If it's something serious, then let's do something serious. If it's not something serious, then let's leave it right now. But I'm not going to spend my days every single day going, and how was your day?
You're in double figures now. You can't afford to
waste your time. You're tired of inane, meaningless chatter. You either want some action to come out of this, or you want to move on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all.
Yep. It needs to be a bit more direct.
Good. We don't have to take it there.
Okay. I want to talk about something that we brought up in
the
show.
You know what you must say to him, sir? Sorry, Gareth. You must say, baby, I've got every letter of the alphabet except U and D.
Ooh. Gord is going to be scripting people's WhatsApp messages from now on. If you want to get hold of him,
I'll help you be smooth as fuck.
Yeah.
10 rand in SMS.
Thank you very much. But no.
Oh, that's great. All right. So I want to talk about this because I've been feeling pretty out of shape. And I know it's something we brought up on the TV show the other day. I had Gord on there. And we were talking about how, you know, people are letting themselves go. I mean, Gord's lost quite a lot of weight during lockdown.
I'm stoked.
Well done, dude. Oh. It's really good. I've put on, even though most of lockdown, I can say, has been a success story for me, the last couple of weeks, I've just put on about 3 or 4 kilos, and it's bothering me quite a lot. And
where do you feel it?
You'll have to put on your bigger hair soon if that's
just.
That
I only feel it in one place. That's in the stomach area.
Your gunt.
My gunt. Basically, my gunt has grown. So
that's such a terrible word.
it's the only word. That. It's so gross that it makes you want to lose it immediately. So I was reading.
It's so encapsulating as well.
Yeah, I'm not going to bore you with my own story here because it's boring. I don't have serious weight issues, so it's going to sound really self.
Oh, like one of those really hot girls who tells you how miserable.
You see, this is why I didn't want to talk about it. But I found out that when you lose weight, apparently, because I've always wondered where does the weight go. So what happens to fat when you lose it? And a lot of it is, you know, explained by sweat and by pooing it out and all the rest of it. But the reality is. No, what do you think happens to things when you get
to the system? I'm just quietly waiting for you to get to the damn punchline.
So
well, not a punchline. The fascinating fact.
I think this is fascinating.
I do too. Get on with
it. 90% of what you lose in terms of weight loss from fat is through breathing out the carbon dioxide. CO2. When you breathe out CO2, if you're exercising heavily, and if you're eating properly, the weight you're losing is mostly being breathed out. Most of those carbons in the chain.
When you metabolize fat, it burns down into its core chemicals and constituents. And then they make their way out of your body in various ways. Some come out, the salty stuff comes out in sweat. Other stuff comes out with the rest of your things that come out normally. But the majority of it is carbon and carbon dioxide, and you breathe that out. So yeah,
I was
people when you lose weight are actually breathing bits of themselves onto you and into the world.
Mm-hmm.
So there's bits of gourd fat just floating around in the atmosphere,
and that's contributing, by the way, to the greenhouse effect,
global warming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I sequester carbon. Fat people sequester carbon. In fact, we should be given government grants, like as carbon tax. They should pay us for every kilo you are above 100. You get 1,000 rand a month. Stipend.
So if you want to save the planet, don't lose weight?
Yes. Store all that carbon up in your gunt.
And then
call it planet preservation carbon sequestering device.
I know this is really going to sound like a stupid question, but it is released as CO2.
Yeah.
So you can't gain weight if
you can't gain weight by breathing.
Okay, yeah, never mind.
You can still breathe.
Okay, you're allowed
If I suddenly shed all my excess weight at once, the global temperature would go up half a degree.
Definitely.
And this is 90% of weight loss.
Yeah,
keep urging it to get beast as it is, and then bury all the fat people, will have captured the carbon beneath the earth. And one day, aliens will mine that little patch of Nebraska and find, like, it's rich in petrol. Like, what decomposed here that was so carbon rich? Was it a forest? No, it was lots of fat people.
Imagine.
Yeah, so, that is not sexy for gone on.
I know this is very lavatorial, but if you lose weight by breathing and burping, you must lose it by farting as well, right?
No, it's not. I don't think it works like that. You don't lose it by breathing or burping. You've already lost it. That's where it comes out. That's your chimney.
Okay, it's your chimney.
You burn wood in the fire, and the smoke comes out of the chimney.
So, in other words, smoke, you make if you're fire. Farting a lot, it's not going to help you lose weight.
I don't know, but I mean, it probably implies that you're eating a lot, so maybe not.
I had this idea in my head that if I just farted a lot, then I would lose weight.
No, talk more shit. That's the answer.
Yeah, it's just... just lose the weight. Just fart a lot.
You and your fart sound.
No, no.
You're a big child, Gareth.
So Sia brought up the story the other day about a Japanese porn club, you know, where they've got these five floors of, you know, porn stars serving you drinks and that kind of thing.
An amusement park.
Yeah, so this comes from Nikki. Nikki says, read Sia's article on the Japanese porn club. I don't know all the details, but the Japanese have an increasingly distant relationship with sex, with increasing numbers of young Japanese people choosing to remain celibate. I'm not sure what the birth rate is looking like, but from what I understand, the Japanese government are actively trying to get their people to procreate more, hence the introduction of things like this creepy five-story porn club. As always, thanks for a great show, Nikki. Yeah, well, that is true.
Porn help you procreate? I mean...
Well, hopefully it'll get people thinking about the idea of sex, and then you'll want to have sex.
Well, as any professional gamer will tell you, you know... Porn negates sometimes the need for having sex at all.
Mm. You mean you're distracted by the porn, so you never actually do anything else?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take your word for
it. That's also a good point.
All right. Well, there's something interesting I want us to talk about this morning, because you know I'm a big supporter of Headway, and Headway Gauteng are doing a fundraiser, and they do lots of really interesting things. They've got a virtual event coming up on the 13th to the 23rd of November, and they're taking their cycle challenge online. Now, Damien Vasokovic is Jesus Christ. Just say, how do I say your name?
Damien Vasovic.
Vasovic. There we go. Thank you. Damien Vasovic is here this morning to tell us a little bit about this. And you know how I feel about cyclists, right? So
you love them.
I love them, Damien. I love them, man. They're my favorite people. I do my best in the mornings to wave at them and be friendly rather than actively hate my driving experience.
I just want to thank you on behalf of myself and various other people that have at many times wondered whether the duel was over, only to have your good people come out and let us know that it's time to go home and feel shame again.
But this
we do a lot, not only for ourselves, but also for society. You are quite correct in that.
Yes, absolutely. And listen, I love what you're doing here, because even if I had a problem with cyclists, which we'll pretend I don't, what I feel great about is the fact that you're here supporting Headway Gauteng, and you know I'm a massive supporter of.
Yep.
So Headway have partnered with a company called Virtual Insanity South Africa, who have the rights to an app which provides cycling routes around the world that are captured in 4K, which is obviously incredible levels of detail. So it's going to be run on this platform, which is called Fulgaz, Fulgaz. The platform has amazing 4K technology, which makes the ride feel very real. But tell us about how you got involved here and what exactly you're going to be doing, Damien.
Well, I mean, the way I got involved, and takes me back around about 10 years, it was perhaps the best and the worst day of my life. I went for a cycle with my two brothers. Mm-hmm. In Gareth, you're laughing because you were probably hooting at me.
No. I must tell you, even though I don't love cycling and I don't believe it's a sport, I think it's a hobby, I'm not mean to cyclists, so I'd never hoot at them. I'm never rude to them. I definitely don't drive too close to them.
Ah, brilliant. So anyway, I went out for a cycle with my two brothers in Sekebosch Ride, which is south of Johannesburg. Lovely, yes. Quiet place. And as we're going up one hill, a car came in opposite direction, about 90 k's an hour. It managed to just miss my two brothers and went smack bang into me.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and look, I mean, the damage was quite tremendous, but just to paint a picture for yourselves and the listeners, you have four lobes in your skull.
Yes.
All four of my lobes were fractured, and that obviously led to certain brain injuries. On top of that, I will not mention all of the other bones that have been broken, but if you look at my face, you can probably already make out some. But also, as I went tumbling over the car, seven of my vertebrae were fractured. You got 33 vertebrae in your back. So you're basically speaking about over 20% of your back being compromised.
Man.
Yeah, and look, Gareth, the reason why I'm here speaking to you, speaking to Sia and the listeners is that I was surrounded by, I was very, very fortunate to be surrounded by a bunch of very good people. I was very fortunate to be admitted to the right hospitals and to have that support of people that loved me and people that could make a difference but wanted to make a difference
Damien,
in my life.
Let's just rewind to that day because you said it was the best and the worst day of your life. I mean, the worst I can understand based on what you've just told us. But the best is a bit of a stretch, surely. I mean, explain to me how on earth you could derive some good out of something which you must think about often and which must have put you in a situation that you didn't want to be in for a very long time.
Jeff, when I say the best day, I'm looking at the outcome. So the outcome of what happened, if I wasn't surrounded by the right individuals, right, if I wasn't in the right institutions, could have been much, much worse. So I do believe that from that perspective, it actually was the best day in my life. I'm able to walk. I'm able to cycle. In fact, wow, 3 years later, in 2013, my city brother bought us entries to Cape Epic. And I've done that. And we came in the top 13%. And now you're speaking about professionals being involved in the race. It is the most grueling mountain bike race on earth. And we were in the top 13%, you know, and it showed me that with the right support, you can actually become the person that you were before, perhaps even a better person. A lot of people would argue that my personality is perhaps worse. I like to argue otherwise, but it is possible. And it's through that journey that I realized I needed to do something for other individuals. And that's when I formed a team called Headway Heroes. Now, Headway Heroes is a cycling team which supports Headway Gauteng. And you already spoke about Headway Gauteng, but basically they do provide therapy and support to adults who have
brain injuries,
have been exposed to traumatic brain injury.
That's right.
And the families as well. And what we do for them is, obviously, Headway Gauteng is providing these services to the members at a fraction of a cost, but some individuals still don't have the money to pay for it. That's where we come in.
Yeah.
Now, with COVID-19 coming on board, and us speaking as we are right now, as opposed to your studio, obviously it had an impact on you. It had an impact on all of the events worldwide, sure, including the way that we raised money usually, which is through 94.7. So we spoke to some good individuals, and they put us into touch with Virtual Insanity, which is, like you said, a company that brought Full Gas into South Africa. It is an amazing platform. And what we are looking to do with that platform is, we put together a tour of South Africa, right, which is something amazing. So you have 6 stages that you can cycle in South Africa from sitting in your house. So you don't have to upset individuals in the mornings as they're driving to their work. You can sit in your house and you can see it in crystal clear quality, which is something amazing. Mm-hmm. You can also ride not simply in South Africa. You can ride also up west in France. You can ride somewhere in California. There are over 2,000 hours of cycling loaded onto this this app. It is a global app which is supporting charity in South Africa.
So how would you do this? Would you be on a stationary bike somewhere? So you would be cycling, but then it would project this onto either virtual reality goggles or onto a screen in front of you. How does it work?
It's exactly that, Gareth. I think you got it spot on. So you can load it onto your cell phone. You can load it onto your smart TV.
Right.
And you'll see the picture in front of you. You are on your smart trainer. And what this application does, very much like the other applications in the category, it speaks to your trainer. So if you are going up the west and you're going from 0 degrees of incline to 6 degrees of incline, it will tell your computer in your trainer, let's make it a little bit harder. Right. Let's make it a little bit easier. So it does give you not simply a virtual vision of where you are cycling, but also the virtual feel, fortunately or unfortunately for some, of when you are going up those hills and those downhills. It is something quite amazing as far as I understand speaking to various individuals, especially for triathletes.
Yeah.
So if you are a triathlete and you are sitting in South Africa and you want to do a triathlon, say, in Hawaii,
yes,
you can download the route and you can actually train on that route before you actually buy the plane ticket and actually fly there and do it. You know, so this is something very, very amazing. And what we are trying to do, Gareth, and I think just for yourselves and your listeners, right, we've partnered with these amazing companies to bring you this tour, and you pay zero for it. It's completely utterly free. So all you have to do, you have to go on to a website called www.quickit.co.za.
Yes.
And you can enter there for free. Second of all, usually you think to yourself, well, now the app is going to cost me money, full gas, global app. I'm going to have to pay a certain amount of money to become a member.
Mm-hmm.
The app usually gives you a trial period of 14 days. We've negotiated with them that for individuals who undertake the tour of South Africa, they get 30 days for free to utilize the app. So you can actually train on the app prior to the actual race, prior to the actual tour. And when you're doing the actual tour, you can perhaps perform better. On top of that, we've partnered with another company, www.puremotionsports.co.za. Mm-hmm. We'll be providing gifts for the individuals that do the race. Those gifts will not simply be given to the individuals that are the fastest, but we also will be giving sport prizes to individuals that, for instance, took the longest to do a specific route.
Now, I love this. So you can actually download that Full Guys app. You can use the code Virtual Insanity, and you'll get 1 month for free. And you can obviously join in the tour. It's from the 13th until the 23rd of November, and there are 5 stages. There are 10 days to complete the tour, the whole tour. And we will put all the details for this on cliffcentral.com, so you don't have to go through all of the difficult things that people aren't going to remember necessarily, but you can go and have a look at cliffcentral.com, and we will share all the information with you. But well done. Dude, it's always so inspiring to hear people who've been through the kinds of things that you've been through, and then you find a time and a place in your life to actually give back to others. And really, it's great that you help Headway. They do such tremendous work. I've seen people's lives change overnight because of the hard work that's put in there.
Thanks, Gavin. I think just one more thing to point out. We are getting famous, believe it or not. So we, prior to the 13th of November, we'll be putting together a training ride, a social ride.
Yes.
Where myself, Herschel and Elton Yangtjes, the two rugby players,
yes, of course,
are coming on board as well to help us with the cause.
Right.
And we'll be streaming it live to various individuals so they can go onto the trainer, onto Fulgas prior to the event, and we can converse. If they do have any problems of making sure that the app is working correctly, we can fix it there and then prior to undertaking the challenge on the 13th of November until the 23rd of November.
Awesome stuff. Damien, thank you so much. Damien Vasevich, it's really good to see you, and congratulations on the stuff that you're doing for Headway. Obviously, our support goes to Headway, and you can find out more at headwaygauteng.co.za, or you can just follow the links on the cliffcentral.com website. Loads of things still to come and lots to talk about this morning. I've got some feedback from people about blind history that I want to get to in a second. Darren says he loves being able to watch the show like this. Please do upload these to the YouTube page. Well, you know, it's something we'll think about. But so many people, according to Ruth, this is an interesting discussion. And it's something maybe, you know, we should explore one day on the show and get a psychologist in to talk about what the effects could be. But Ruth says many people have lost their libido during lockdown.
Oh.
No, not me. Ding, ding, ding.
Not you, Hagord.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Absence makes the D grow stronger.
Look, we can't get a professional to. We can get a professional to comment on this, but if you think about it just from a general sense, you know, they say things like stress and work pressure can affect your libido. So makes sense.
A lot of people have been stressed over the past couple of months. Make sure my back's up against something, or I fly backwards using Newton's third law.
equal and opposite reactions.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, I mean, if you can find a way to, I mean, first of all, for a lot of people, it must be difficult to meet anybody.
I think if they locked me down for long enough, I could ejaculate space rockets into orbit.
I don't want to think about that. I really don't want to think about that.
Anyway, let's move on. Okay, I have some news.
What is your news, Sia?
No, so, you know, gender-based violence is a big thing in the country. And this week, particularly, the DA had posed some GBV-related questions to Peggy Kleile, wanting to find out certain things about policing in this country, and particularly to in accordance to gender-based violence. And so in his response, one of the main things that has struck a lot of people is the fact that 139 police officers in this country today who work have gender-based violence-related charges hanging over their heads.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I thought that number would be higher. Apparently, those are only 13 of the police stations in the country. 13 police stations and 139 police officers. So if you take 13 police stations, that means that
just over one per station.
One in every 10 at that station is it's just unbelievable.
Yeah. These cases include rape and murder, domestic violence, attempted murder.
And these are the guys you call, by the way. These are the people. These are the people you call when you are a woman in South Africa and you have to deal with this shit. It's just unacceptable. It's unacceptable.
Yeah. Yeah. They've broken it down as well. By province. So the Eastern Cape has 11 cases, Free State has 20 cases, Gauteng 7, KZN 20, Limpopo 8, Mpumalanga 1, Northwest 6, Northern Cape 14, and the Western Cape 26 cases.
Sia, I just thought of something.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just say Limpopo or did you say Limpopo?
I said Limpopo.
Okay, just checking. Because I remember old Gedlehlekis, our former president, he used to say Limpopo.
I wanted to mention earlier when we were talking about awkward stuff that happened on air.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in the first 3 to 6 months I was doing the show where I was still taking everything very seriously. And Kolopad came. And she was like, so extra. And then she wanted, like, she was genuinely upset you didn't have, like, transportation money for her to get home. And she wanted, like, a loaf of bread or something.
Yeah.
It was so weird.
Brown bread.
And you were, like, legitimately not okay with you not having transportation money.
Skolopat, yeah. I wonder how Skolopat's doing, Sia. We must find out.
Did she sleep? I tried to contact her again.
Yeah.
And her number and her manager's number, well, the supposed manager's number don't work. Did she sleep before or after the interview?
Yeah, she arrived early and
she had a sleep. She had a doo-doo's.
So she had a bit of a doo-doo's on the couch.
Yeah, no, I think they drove specifically up for us.
Oh, man. Sure. I miss Skolopat. I mean, that, you know, that could only happen in this country, that we would have Skolopat come and visit us and that she'd fall asleep on the sofa and ask for brown bread.
We were talking earlier about the weirdest shit that happened on air, and like you had the submissive needing a dog bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, it's not the same kind of strange, but that was for me like the strangest radio experience I've had in 3 odd years of doing this with you guys. And there have been some strange shit.
Oh, no, there's been lots of strange shit. But Skolopat's right up there, dude. She's right up there. What a strange human being. All right. Yeah. So we always talk about what we would do if we won millions and millions. But what job would you do if you could do any job in the world? And there's a reason I'm asking for this, but just think about it for a second. If you could do any job, let's say that your talent was not a prerequisite. In other words, you would be talented enough if you wanted to do that job. So in other words,
Rhyming
kids books. I know that's your favorite thing, and that's something you can actually achieve in your life at the moment. It's something you could do, and it could
For real. It's like there was a functional, like, you know, that impossible dream of functional socialism where it actually works, like the book says, and everyone's got abundant everything, and you can devote your time to whatever you want.
No.
I'd still do that. Like, if you were in a squillionaire position where you don't have to do anything, I might for long periods not do anything, but if I was going to do something, it would be that.
Yeah, I've always had this fantasy that I could be a rock star, but I still think that the best job in the world is to be Prince Philip. I mean, that's, you know.
Right.
But being royalty in some
sort
of country where there's a aristocracy that still sits on lots of money, that's obviously the job you want. That's hardly a job.
And where you have a tame press, because you actually don't want to have to account for yourself and have to watch out for the press, you know, talking about what rapscallion you are.
I'd be reclusive as fuck, and I'd be such a rapscallion. God, my rapscallionry would be through the roof. I'd be MC Rapscallion.
Yes.
That's a great name. I don't know why no one thought of that in the 80s when it would have worked.
Rapscallion.
I'm a rapscallion. I wear a medallion.
That's good. that's about all you've got, right? Because there's nothing else.
Just as I was getting into it,
I was just starting to feel the
maybe
groove.
That's why nobody called themselves Rapscallion in the 80s, because there was nothing that could rhyme it with.
Yeah. Like, my name's MC Orange.
And then... yeah, exactly. Oh, my
God. Gord, I still think there's so much time for you to be a rapper, full-fledged.
I have, for long periods of my life, been a full-fledged rapper. I just don't do it often enough now to say I'm full-fledged. I'm OG credential, semi-retired. But I still do it. Yeah, still do it. And I've done it like competitively and for money and at live shows with more than 100 people many, many, many times. So I consider myself a not-for-profit rapper.
If you ever want to resuscitate your career fully, I'm ready to be your hype man. Do you know, like, the other day, I was just listening to my random playlist, and I, you know, it's just a mixture of music. I started listening to some Run DMC music.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not. Wait, were they fully cool?
Yeah, they were super cool. They were like, them and the Beastie Boys were like the first two hip-hop groups to go like fully mainstream successful. But the Beastie Boys were early in their career quite manufactured by Def Jam, whereas Run DMC were just legit. They just came up with all that shit on their own.
And then I had to start YouTubing some of their performances and stuff. I bumped into Walk This Way Again. And I'm like, how cool was that song? Aerosmith, who was like peak rock and amazing. Yeah, and then you get Walk This Way, Talk This Way.
That's right.
Walk This Way, Talk This Way. That is just so cool. So cool.
Yeah, and then Beastie Boys answered with Fight for Your Right to Party.
Oh, it's a great
song.
You
gotta fight, gang for your right.
Gang it's party. Love it.
Can I get this off my chest since it's a Wednesday? Why the fuck not?
Go for it, Sia.
So,
yesterday you didn't get it off your chest enough.
Yeah. So, since earlier we were talking about some crapping stories,
oh, no.
I feel like I can just share this, lose all my dignity, and we'll end the show. I'm fine.
We're going back to the lavatory with Sia. All right, everybody, brace yourselves. It's time for Back to the Bathroom with Sia Sangweni. Oh, yes.
Back to the bathroom with Sia.
All right, what happened, Sia?
I've once had a
We lost you. Say that again.
Crap story take place at the office.
You had a crap story from the office. Okay, let's go.
No, I've from the office. Yeah. Okay. So once upon a time, there's this little boy named Sia who had just started his career and was so excited that he would spend a full 12 hours at the office. I'd come in the mornings and we'd do the show.
Yeah.
And I'd be doing some work stuff through the day. And I'd only leave after, at the time, Aria was doing his afternoon show. Then I'd leave with them. But I'm not lactose intolerant. I think I'm just lactose intolerant-ish. There's certain things that I just can't have.
Now, what happens to people who are lactose intolerant? They just start getting the shits?
Yeah. Okay. With any sort of dairy product. And for me, I can have like ice cream. I can have yogurt. But there's something about fresh milk just doesn't agree with me at all. Mm-hmm. And at that point, do you remember how Whakaberry was the thing?
Yeah, of course.
You clapped a few Milky Boys.
That was the thing. And I hadn't discovered that frozen yogurt was also just a no-go for me. So we had a bunch of us at the office had gone out for lunch. And then on our way back, we got some Whakaberry and came back. This is now like probably 3 in the afternoon. The office was fairly empty and there were about 3 of us left now. And was Arie, who was on air, then was his producer, Katlego, and myself. Mm-hmm. So they were in the studio part of the office and I was more at, at my desk. And I feel like, something is
did it
not
start
right
to, did your stomach start to go?
Yeah, you hear thunder, you see lightning and the thunder doesn't follow long after.
So I thought, this is not good. Right. And at that point, even I... just had this rule of I'm even not going to go.
Right, man. Come on, that's as bad enough as it is.
I really didn't want to go at the office. So I thought, oh, okay, if I go to the loo and I just fart, maybe I'll feel better.
That loo at the office blocks if you fart in it.
So no, God, no, God, you have blocked it with your enormous turds.
More than once and no other toilet.
Don't you dare. It's.
I should have thought of this on the show we did on TV. We talked about your fat discrimination. You guys
oh
have a
my gosh.
Then I have, you call I have the guests out the next time you see them. I very dare you drop a perfectly reasonable sized bodge in our not working toilet that should have a sign on it saying, this doesn't flush.
Listen, that
no, it does.
We've replaced the flushing mechanism 3 or 4 times in that loo over the course of 7 years, and it is now a powerful flush. It doesn't fill the cistern. It actually comes straight out of the pressure from the connection. So don't give us that. First of all.
Yes.
Second of all, I bring expert witness Jane Malachi to the bench morning.
I poo 4 times every show at home, and I haven't had a blocked toilet incident. I'm willing to send a clear toilet report with time-stamped video at the end of every show.
Anyway, so let's get back to Sia's story. Everybody knows you. Everybody knows you blocked the lavatory gourd. So let's get back to Sia.
So I go to the loo, and I think, oh, I'm just going to fart. But then it feels like, no. I actually have to crap. So it's like, oh, I hate this thought. It's happening in the office. But if I just make it quick, it will be over and done with. So I make it very quick, and I'm done. And I get back into the office thinking the worst is over. But while I'm in there, I still feel like I am not okay. So I think, okay, now this just requires a little tiny fart. I was standing in the middle of the office thinking it will be a fart. And it was just in my pants.
I feel so bad that you just admitted that with a cooler out.
And so since we have a communal work area, one of the rules that we had decided upon was that, you know, you will never ever spray perfume or cologne in there because we're all so sensitive to it. But I was like, I just crapped in my pants in here. I just had to spray my cologne.
But the
worst
thing about those kinds of situations, and it's happened to everyone on earth, so you don't need to feel embarrassed. It's worse when it happens at work, but the worst thing to do is, like, how do you clean up that mess and how do you deal with it? Because
I don't want to think about
it. Here's the thing. Then it just goes downhill from here because I go to the loo and I try to fix myself up. Katlego, you remember her, Gareth.
Yes.
Likes to really be so expressive. She's like, see, don't you remember we said no cologne in here? And what am I going to say? Well, girl, want to know what happened to my pants?
Yeah.
So this was now roughly around 3:30-ish. And I thought I just have to leave. So I pack my bags up. I'm like, guys, cheers. I have to go. They're like, see, what's going on?
You know,
you stay to us after the show.
I'm going.
I have to go. Cheers. Now, then it was horrible because at that time I didn't have a car. My dad would pick me up.
Oh, no.
And he was coming from Soweto. So, like, I texted him. I was like, Dad, you have to pick me up now. You try leaving the south at 3:30 or 4 in the afternoon and try to make
the
it
whole show
to the north with traffic.
You should tell us this story. This was brave. Yeah. Lived your truth with us today, and I want to just thank you for your courage. And you were every one of us.
Yes.
You were all of us.
Yes.
I'm with Gord. Well done. Sia, it feels good to release.
In fact, I think we should shame people who haven't shat their pants now and make it like disgusting.
Sia, I'm proud of
now
you.
Now I feel better.
I think that it's great that you finally got this off your shoulders because it's been bothering you. And
6 years later,
I'm proud of you. Well done for talking about it and embarrassing yourself.
That was the most thing ever, but I respect you more for it. Yes. Yeah.
But last bit of news: it was like in winter, Oh, it was like the beginning of winter. So when my dad finally picked me up, mind you, it was after six because of traffic. The show had wrapped up inside the studio.
How long did you have your pads? 3 hours.
It was about 2 hours of me waiting for my dad. The show inside finished, and they were actually walking out. They're like, oh. Yeah, so they go, oh, Sia, you're still here. I'm like, yeah, well, my dad had told me he's around the corner. Ooh, oh, well, he was stuck for 2 hours.
Jesus.
So my dad finally arrives, and I wasn't going to tell him what had happened either. So it is now chilling cold, and I say to him, let's just roll down the windows. It is so warm.
The cold probably saved you. It kept it more solid.
So we drove 40 minutes back to Soweto in the middle of winter with the windows rolled down because I'm not about to tell my dad, hey, Dad, so I shed my pants today.
Oh, man.
3 hours ago.
Well, get ready. Get ready for a week. Shook. There's going to be at least a week of abusive emails and text messages to the show about this. And Dogos are starting us off this morning with, ha, 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 Sia shat himself. Wow. What a story. See, Sia, this is the cost of being honest.
Yeah, whatever. 6 years later, I'm over it now.
Yeah, you got it out. And now, literally and figuratively, and now your soul is cleansed, literally and figuratively. Thank God for the cold weather.
And note to self, never try new dairy products.
Oh, someone wants to know here.
The ship itself, that toilet.
M wants to know, Gareth, what is the term that you use when you take a dump in the cistern? It's called an upper decker. And you do that. You do that when you. Oh, it's good.
You do that in the toilet of someone you hate.
Yeah, you do that.
Primary school.
An upper decker. Yep. only boys do shit like this. Girls would never do that.
Not if they thought they might get caught.
No one sane would do that.
Oh God, that's funny.
Sia says Andre. Sia, let's just say that the reason that ABS braking was invented was because of you. Dogoza says, ha ha ha, could it be possible that Gord is to blame? The one that's always blocking the toilet when it was actually Sia who blocked it. Maybe, yeah.
Amen.
I crapped.
And use that toilet because he knows.
Yes.
Beth says, Wackerberry used to make me feel ill. There's something wrong with that yogurt.
Are they still around? That was like a thing that came and went.
Yeah, I think they went.
Oh.
Now, because I also didn't want to admit it to anyone at the office, and I didn't want to be the awkward one who now doesn't want to go on those Wackerberry dates anymore for lunch, I would go and then I'd honestly.
Wackerberry dates.
Yeah, we used to do that.
When you were like a teenager.
No, like for lunch, sometimes we do that. So I'd have like the tiniest bit of Wackerberry and then just stuff my cup with toppings so no one questions. We live and we learn, folks. We live and we learn.
It's terrible, Sia. That is so bad. All right, Blind History. I'm getting lots of feedback. Yesterday we had Pol Pot as our starring history character, and you can listen to the latest episode of Blind History and find out all about the story of Pol Pot if you go to cliffcentral.com. Someone's saying that they think that Julius Malema may have a poster of Pol Pot up in his room. That's possible.
A great leap forward, right?
No, the great leap forward was Mao. Pol Pot was in Cambodia. But that's fine.
Who is the one who didn't like literate people?
Don't feel bad because, it's 15 minutes of your time, but after that, you'll know all the things you need to know about Pol Pot.
Decades of value, 15 of minutes.
Absolutely.
That's the logo, not of the show.
Decades of value, 15 of minutes.
Yeah.
I actually think I'm going to use that as the blurb for Blind History from now on.
Yeah. How many years can you pack in a minute?
I love that. A lot. That's fantastic.
Over the upper deck. If I win that six, I don't have anybody who I'd like to upper deck. This needed to happen to me like 5 to 10 years ago when I was in more corporate.
That is like a crazy level of petty and revenge.
I know someone who did that though.
Someone who upper deck.
Yeah, they did it to. The staff toilet at the school.
No.
Yeah. They went into the staff bathroom, the women's bathroom in the staff.
That's a that's like cowardice. That's obviously boy students being. I mean, you do it to the headmaster. The headmaster could very well be a woman. My headmaster is a wonderful lady. Was a lady, but like there's always a head man who's like the head of something, the head of some faculty, like a dick. Like he had no friends in school, and his only interest is being an asshole to children because they were an asshole to him. That guy, you poo in that guy's system.
I just have so many questions I actually don't want to ask.
In retrospect, this is like terrible and a crime and not at all funny because one of those school things that you do and later in life you realize that wasn't actually okay. Hey, I wasn't one of the actual perpetrators, but I knew it was going on and I laughed and rubbed my hands with glee and mirth as one does under peer pressure. But they put a cap of acid in the teacher's big foot thermos. That's like a giant gross bubbling thermos. And we waited in the basement to see what was going to happen and nothing happened.
But there's probably some teacher now who's having flashbacks at the most inconvenient of times.
Probably inspiring some people.
I won't tell the dude's real name, but we called him Langbian. The Langbian had a cap of acid and he like snuck, he went straight into the staff room, just dropped it in and walked out. And Oaks were like, we can't believe you did that. Wow. And thankfully, like there were no visible repercussions, but I was like, someone's going to die.
Oh my God.
Well, I can't believe it's already after 8 o'clock, but I do want to tell you, I'm so excited. Today is the day that I do my spring cleaning of my cupboards. Fucking yeah. How exciting am I? Aren't I the most exciting person you've ever met in your life? This is what I love.
Aren't you? What an eventful time ahead.
Decoupage season.
Now, shut up. Shut up, Gord. You know how happy I'll be once my cupboards are sorted out. Oh my God.
Do you decoupage? Tell us the truth.
I don't decoupage? Are you out of your mind? I wouldn't know how to do that.
I'd take you for a decoupage.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm a decoupage guy. All right. Fine. That's something I did just last Thursday. All right. Listen, everybody. Have a happy day. We will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Gordo, thank you very, very much. We'll no Upper Deckers, please, during the course of today. And Sia, please don't go to any yogurt shops. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, keep it on the lower deck. Watch out for the yogurt, friends.
That's right.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. What a bunch of lunatics. Fucking animal show, this. All right.
Have a good Wednesday, friends. CliffCentral.com.